All right, welcome to part one of a brand new series entitled Game Changer. And I believe this series is going to be a game changer. And so really looking forward to this series and unpacking this for you. And again, I just want to say a heartfelt welcome to all those that every week join us online. And so glad to have you. And just to let you know as we begin into this message, that there are message notes right there available for you on our website that you can download and follow along with us. And for those of you in-house, we have in our worship guide our message notes that you can fill in the blanks there as we go through this this first installment of this series. Really excited about small groups as we're off to a great start this year. And just launched last week. Everybody already excited about the small groups? Oh, it's awesome. It's so awesome. And so we've got people that are having some small groups that are connecting people virtual, online, and out of state that are connecting with our small groups. It's awesome. So be sure and connect with our small group directory that's found online. And whether you are here in-house or you don't even attend this church, if you're watching online, you could connect with our small groups. There's a directory how to connect with those, and you can contact the leaders and learn how you can be a part of that. I believe it's life-changing. We are a church. I remind you of this again. We are a church not just with small groups. We're a church of small groups because we believe that real life, authentic change happens. Real life change happens in the context of relationships. And so that's the way God designed that. So I encourage you in that. I want to jump right into this series. So if you've got your message notes, you can follow along with us. Also, if you don't have one yet, be sure and pick up a binder out in the lobby that you can collect all these. You'll notice those are hole punch, so you can collect these as we go through the series, even throughout this entire year. The title, again, of this series, we've entitled it Game Changer, with this thought in mind. Have you ever, anybody like football? Anybody like football? Okay, some's all in, but football is just one of those sports that can be very exciting to watch in the fact that there are times when you think that one team has lost it all, they're going to lose the game, and then something happens, and they turn around, and they end up winning the game. They come back, there's something that's maybe a change that happens, and it's called. It's often referred to as a game changer. I would like to refer you to one game that pains me to refer you to. There was a game played in Atlanta for the college national championship this last go-around. And in that same stadium, I have to tell you, as a disclaimer, Florida State played this team called Alabama on our opening season game opener there. And they won. And in the process, our quarterback was injured, knocked us out. Him out for the season. Tough season. Alabama comes back to the same stadium to play Georgia, and in that football game, it was crazy. And if you don't like football, I don't know how you could not like this game because it was so exciting. And I was screaming for Georgia. I'll confess, but it was interesting. And just bring this up because I think this kind of sets the stage of how we want to look at this series, and that is that when it came to halftime. Alabama was shut out in the first half of the game. At halftime, it was 13-0. But this great coach by the name of Nick Saban made a change, at halftime. And I always wonder what happens in the locker rooms, you know, when they go in there, you know, guys, okay, you're making these mistakes, you need to correct these errors, and then we need to implement this as a change, as a play change going forward. And when they do, it becomes oftentimes a game changer. What happened in this particular game was Nick Saban called the quarterbacks together and said, okay, guys, we need to change it up. We need to do a change up here. And so what he did was he pulled in a quarterback by the name of Tua Tagovailoa. I worked on pronouncing that. He's from Hawaii. Tua Tagovailoa. He was a freshman from Hawaii that he brought in. Now, this is a true redshirt freshman that he brings in. And in the second half of the game, this guy threw three touchdown passes ESPN puts it this way. The freshman quarterback who played mostly mop-up duty this season came off the bench to spark a comeback and threw a 41-yard touchdown to Devontae Smith that gave number four Alabama a 26-23 victory over the number three Georgia on Monday night for the College Football Playoff National Championship. What a game. It was an overtime. They threw this 41-yard touchdown that won the game. And social media, I remember seeing it after that, just blew up. And a lot of the talk was about Nick Saban and his leadership in that he was able to go in and make this hard decision to sit one quarterback down and put in a freshman. And interestingly, the other team, they really didn't have a lot of footage on this freshman quarterback. They hadn't studied him, and they put him in, so they had nothing to counter that. And I love how Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the first half, his response was, referring to the quarterback that stepped up, he said, he just stepped in and did his thing. He's built for this kind of stuff. I'm so happy for him. I love that because he was a team player. But here they were now winning their fifth national championship. I said all that to say that there are times in life when it looks like we're losing. It looks like things are going all against us and we don't know what to do. But I just want to take this series for us to come aside, call it halftime, go to the locker room, and let's have a talk about what we can do to put in the right kind of play calls. Come on, and we're going to have something happen that's going to be a game changer and see things change. So we're going to look at some different areas as we go through this series. We're going to talk about family. This is a month where we need to focus on family and relationships. We're going to talk about finances. And by the way, I encourage you we have a small group that's about to start in a week called Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey course. It's going to be awesome. I encourage you in that. We're going to talk about friendships, relationships, and we're also going to talk about faith as we conclude this series on being a game changer. Because, you know, a lot of times what happens, you go into a locker room and you haven't put any points on the board, you stop believing. But it's important that you got to believe. You got to keep playing the game. You got to play all the time on the clock out and believe and stay in the game. And so we're going to look at this. Today's topic, though, I want to establish this first before we get into these particular breakdowns, and that is that this topic is about change, a change-up. How do we enforce a change-up? How do we have that happen in our life? And in saying this, I want to just say up front that change is possible. Change is possible. And so for a lot of us, we love the Lord, but there's that one area that is hard to change, and it's frustrating. You know, we're out on the football field, we keep making the same mistakes, we keep making the same errors, or maybe it's basketball for you, whatever analogy you want to use, but you keep making the same mistakes. And so how do we change that? And we need to think that through. And many times as we begin, we're losing and we're looking at things, we have this self-condemning thinking that goes on, and we're thinking something is wrong with me. But I just want to put your mind at ease and take comfort that there were some great apostles of the Bible that struggled with areas in their life that they needed to get past as well. Look at your message notes. We'll put it up on the screen also. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, I love this. Paul says, I don't understand myself at all. And I don't, you ever feel that way? I just don't understand myself. There's something uniquely wrong with me. Why do I keep making these mistakes? Why do I keep falling in the same trap? I don't know how I'm ever going to, this is ever going to change in my life, whatever that thing is. He says, I don't understand myself at all for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate. And I think we can all relate to that. This message is dedicated to those who have an area that needs to change. And I would say that that's probably all of us. All of us have that area that we need to change. And so I want us to see as we discuss this, though, what it looks like when we don't change. Because I believe half the battle is helping you expose what is happening and see where you are in the progression. It's easier to fix something when you can actually see it. So I want to write down these steps with me. First of all, what happens is when you can't change something, when there's an area that needs to be changed, it becomes part of your identity. Part of your identity. In other words, you begin taking on the personality of the thing. This is just the way it's going to be, we say. I can't help it. My daddy was this way. My granddaddy was this way. It's who I am. And so what happens, though, we play right into the enemy's trap when we do that, into the way that he wants us to begin to think. And we begin to take on the nature of the thing, the very thing that we're actually trying to change. And so it becomes part of our identity. You know, I have great respect for the programs that are out there. There are 12-step type of programs to help people. Again, don't get me wrong, I greatly respect those. I think those are valuable and very needed. But there is one thing that I have a little bit of difficulty with. It doesn't matter how long you've been free from something. You're supposed to, I mean, it could be 20 years later, you haven't had any kind of drink of alcohol, and yet you're supposed to stand up and say, I am so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. But can I tell you that, and I get that, and I understand what they're trying to do there, because you need to acknowledge that there's a problem. But can I tell you that when Jesus comes to set us free, he gives us a new nature. And we are not that old person. He makes things all new. And that is not who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we need to understand that. And I understand the need to admit a problem, but we need to be careful in saying, well, that's just who I am. And this is a struggle I'm going to have the rest of my life. No, no, no. Actually, God has set us free. Here's the next thing. Not only does it become a part of our identity, but you feel increasingly hopeless. Hopeless. So when that thing doesn't change, you resign and you give up. And you resign that's just the way that it's going to be. And you lose hope. And that's a sad condition to be in, to lose hope. Can I encourage you today? Don't give up. Don't lose hope. We're going to talk about some things I believe that's going to help you. So don't give up hope. Number three, the third thing that happens is you become defensive. When that thing doesn't change, or people around you start pointing it out, you defend yourself. Well, I have a right to be this way. I have a right. And you begin to justify. And we need to be careful not to become defensive. The next thing that happens is that we become a slave. You become a slave. That thing starts telling you how you're going to live your life. And that's a very dangerous place to live. And the Bible has a lot to say about being a slave. In Romans chapters 6 and 7 and 8 is a great area to study in regard to that. And what it really is talking about there is that there's this battle between the different parts of who we are, each one wanting to be in charge. We kind of went through some of that in our last series about our minds, our spirit, our soul, and our body, and how each of those are in conflict. There's really a conflict at times between the spiritual and the carnal. And that word carnal is where we get the word carne. It means meat. It's where we get the word chili con carne. It's chili with a little bit of flesh in it. So there's this struggle going on there. We alternate between the flesh and the spiritual, and between wanting to be like the world and then wanting to be a Christian. And so we have some places where we're really close to God, and then we swing to the other end where we're trying to be really like the world. And then we're real spiritual, and then we're real carnal. And we're real spiritual, and then we're real carnal. And there's that struggle, that war that's going on. And the enemy's goal is to attack us in that area of our body or our appetite or our emotions that impacts that spiritual part, that perfect part that God redeems of our spirit man. So you become a slave to that if you're not careful. And then the fifth thing that happens, and this is really sad, and that is that you begin to lose your life. And let me put it this way. In other words, you lose your potential. Your potential is gone. So you think, well, I messed up, and if I hadn't messed up, I would be able to fulfill the dreams of my life. But because of that mistake, because of that dumb thing that I did, or because of the choices I've made, now I can never reach the potential and live out the life that God intended me to live. I have so many bad mistakes that I could never get back to the place where my life was intended to be. Can I just encourage you in this? And that is that God has a unique ability And this isn't just good preaching. This is the truth. God has a unique ability to take everything bad in your life and turn it around for good. No matter how many chapters are in your life that you've added to your life that God never intended to be there, that God didn't design, the last chapter, God's able to make the last chapter fit. Amen. It still fits. It's not too late. You're not too far gone. God wants to redeem your life. You don't have to lose your life. You can redeem your life through Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? And so God wants to write a new chapter in your life. I said all that to say that hopefully you know that area of your life where you need to change, and we need to identify that. So it's like going in the locker room and we're saying, okay, we're reviewing the tape. I've actually seen quarterbacks go to the bench after a play, and they'll sit there with their iPad and look at it. I saw one quarterback, he looked at it and saw this dumb mistake he made where he had somebody wide open and he threw it where there was coverage and it was intercepted, and he took the iPad and he threw it down on the ground. You know, I think those things, they got the protected, you know, so they could throw it down the ground, you know. I won't tell you which quarterback that was. I know who it was. But anyway, but God wants to write a new chapter in your life, but we need to identify what are we doing wrong. What is it in the area of our attitude or emotions or our relationship? Maybe it's a habit or an addiction or perhaps even a secret sin. So we're going to change. What we want to do is change things up, okay? We're going to do a change up today. So this installment is about change up. Look in Romans chapter 6 with me. Great word here in Romans chapter 6 that says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. And I love this. It says, instead, give yourselves completely to God. I want to tell you, this series can be summed up and talking about change, the solution to the problem can be summed up in this one sentence right here. Give yourselves completely to God. Can everybody just say that with me? Come on, say it out. Say it aloud, not a soft. Give yourselves completely to God. And so a lot of people, they give some to God, will go part of the way in, but never go all the way in. If we're going to win this game, or come on, we're in the locker room. If we're going to win this game, we got to go all in. We got to give it all we've got. And so we got to go all in. If you were playing a sport or you were involved in that, and you would say, well, I just want to be the best I can be. I want to win all my games, but yet I don't want to come to practice. Practice? I don't want to practice. I just show up for the game. You know, it doesn't work that way, right? So you've got to go all in. You got to give it all you got. You got to go to practice. You got to work hard, and you got to give yourself fully and totally to that thing. This thing of Christianity, really, it's for radicals only. If you want this thing to work in your life, this following Jesus, it's really for radicals only. What do I mean by that? Jeremiah says that when we seek the Lord, in fact, God said, when you seek me and you will seek me and find me when you seek me, look at this, with all your heart, with all your heart. As if to say, you won't find me if you just do it half-heartedly. You won't find me if you just kind of barely do this thing. But when you go all in, come on, everybody, say, go all in. When you go all in, it is a game changer. And look what happens. He says, give yourself completely to God. And then notice what happens. Then sin no longer... Go to the next verse there. Then sin is no longer your master. When you go all in, look at this. When you give yourself totally to God, sin then is no longer your master. And instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So I want to talk today about how we can go all in. What would it look like if we ran the play? What would it look like if we did the full play and we took the full dose of the prescription that I believe it, that is going to help us for the next next 4 weeks? We're going to do this. But I tell you, if we would do this, say, take this prescription, just apply it the next 3 months of your life. Go all in. I'm telling you, that area is going to change in Jesus' name. Amen? So let me give you some steps. Number one, get rid of the excuses. Get rid of the excuses. We all like to procrastinate and make excuses, and we have good intentions. We need to get rid of the excuses. And I don't know what that area is for me, for you. But for me, you know, we went through this 21 days of prayer and fasting. And for me, it's I need to stay on water. You know, I need to get off of the caffeine and this sweet tea. I mean, it's so sweet it is. Sweet tea. I had a wake-up call the other day. I had a pain. And I've had this pain before. I only had it one time before, and now I recognize what it is. It's called kidney stone. And it scared me. Oh, I couldn't hardly move. And I finally got to a place where I became mobile, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, help me. And I was reminded, stay off the sweet tea. Stay off the sweet tea. And it's so I don't know what that looks like for you, but is there that one area, what is that one area in your life that you need to go all in? And so I'm declaring before God and everybody, I'm going to do water. I'm doing water. I'm doing water. My wife's giving me something that puts some flavor in it. That always helps. Thank you, Kim. But go all in. Jesus called for people to go all in and follow him. And as he called them and to follow him, because he said, I've got great things for you, follow me. I want you to notice what he described happened in that process. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 18, he says this. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married. I can't come. Still another said, I just bought a bass boat. I'll see you next Sunday. Another said, I got season tickets, and I'll see you after the season. Another said, I got a baby. I'll be there in about 6 months. Right? But God's got a play for us to run. And let me just encourage you. For those who decide, I'm going in, no turning back, God moves greatly in their lives. When you go all in, so I'm challenging you today, go all in. Discover, figure out what your next step is as you're following Christ. And that's all you got to do. You're following one step at a time. One step at a time. We call around here the one-step initiative. We believe that's growth. As long as people are moving, that's growth. So what is your next step? If you've made a decision for Christ, have you been water baptized? That would be your next step. I encourage you in water baptism. Be water baptized. And you can connect with us today in the lobby, and we'll show you how the next opportunity, how you can be water baptized. If you're not reading your Bible every day, start reading your Bible every day. In fact, I encourage you, let that be the first thing you read every day. Pray every day. I mean, just look, this will change your life. Just take 5 minutes of word, 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of worship, 15 minutes out of your day. It'll change your life. Amen? But go all in. Don't get rid of the excuses, okay? We've got to get rid of the excuses and go all in, and watch the difference God will make in your life. Number two, make a break. Make a break. So get rid of the excuses, and then make a break. So team, what kind of mistakes did we make in the first half? Let's clean up the mistakes. Some teams just beat themselves with their own mistakes and their own errors. You ever seen those kind of games? It wasn't the other team won, you just lost. So what mistakes are we make them? We need to stop doing some things. And in order to do something, you have to break away from something too. If you're going towards something, if God is calling you to a new life, something needs to change. There's always something practical, something intentional. You need to have a breakaway that's holding you back. What is it that you're doing that's holding you back? So think about what that is for you. Okay? For some, it may be your computer. There may be a secret side of you where you're clicking on something. Fix it. Get a filter. Get a program that emails 5 people for every site that you visit. Do something. Break away from it. It may be a relationship that's not good for you, that's pulling you down, that you need to end. Today. I've said it before, I'll say it again. today. As you get your text, your phone out right now while I'm preaching and text them. It's over. It's over. And block them. Come on. I'm very serious. End it today. You may be in a relationship that's not there yet, but you know it's heading there. Cut it off. Make the break. End it today. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says this, Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? That's a word for Satan. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Look at that right there. Go back to that verse. For we are the temple of the living God. Did you know that you're the temple of the living God? We covered this in our last series, but I want to say it again and to remind you and to just get this in you. You are the temple of God. So we come into church, we want to act right. We don't want to, you know, don't put our hat on. We want to be reverent. We don't want to say anything we shouldn't say because we're in church. Guess what? This building's not holy. You're holy. The Bible says you're now the temple of God. So what does life look like if you treated your body like the sanctuary of God, right? Amen? You are the temple of God. So go on to that next verse. Verse 17 says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. I will receive you. And so look at that with me. So did we cover all that?
Yeah.
I will receive you. So it talks about a yoke there. That's what I'm referring to. It talks about a yoke. Do not be yoked together. Yoke means to pull together in commonality. And the Greek word of that is koinonia, to have common fellowship. So you're so close to it, it impacts you. So, and that's not necessarily just people, but perhaps just secularism in general. It's the sights we see. It's the movies we see. It's the music we listen to. Listen, we're competing with the secular. And the Bible says, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? So we need to pull away. We wonder why nothing spiritual happens in our life when we're competing with all these things. We're saying, why doesn't something supernatural happen in my life? And yet we're so entrenched in other things that are competing with that. Are you following me? Look at 2 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. I know this is a heavy message and a challenging message, but what we're talking about is we got to make some changes. So I'm challenging us today to make some changes, some game changes, okay, in our life and change things up. So listen to me. We need to quit with excuses. We need to make a break. And then third, we need to fill the void. So it's more than just cleaning up the mistakes. We need to implement some new plays. We need some new play calls. I can really relate to this. My team in our history, I don't know how many times I have said, why do you always on first down go up the middle? It doesn't work. It never works. Always up the middle. Do something different. Change something up. Get some Bobby Bowden barnyard plays. Do something different. You know, it's always up the middle. Or you ever seen somebody do the same play call on they're on the 1 yard line. They try it one time. That didn't work. Try it a second time. That didn't work. Why don't you just keep trying the same thing? It hasn't worked yet. Just keep trying it. I'm sure it'll work the third time, you know, right? Come on. Any football fans in here can relate to what I'm talking about. Do something different, you know. Try a different play call. Well, we need to implement some new plays, right? And start running the right plays. So here's the thing. Not only do we need to stop making the bad mistakes, all right, but we need to then fill the void. So you can't just stop. And a lot of times we think that's what church is. Church is thou shalt not. Stop it. Don't, no, no, stop, no, don't, No, thou shalt not. Amen. Have a good week, everybody. That's kind of what we think church is. But church is not just stopping. Yeah, we need to stop some things, but it's also about starting some good things, okay? Start in the right direction. So I want us to think about this, what that means. I want to talk about four ways to fill the void. And if you're serious, again, we need to stop with excuses. We need to make a break. We need to fill the void. I want to encourage you in four things and try them and go all in. Write this down. Give your life to Jesus. And the wording there is extremely important. Give your life to Jesus. So we're not just giving our Sundays to Jesus. We're not just, when we talk about worshiping Jesus, it's not just songs on Sunday morning, but it's your life. It's everything. Every area of your life. Going all in. So instead of just coming and going to through a perfunctory formality of, you know, what we do on Sundays, no. How about try falling in love with the person of Jesus? Falling in love with him. Giving him every area of your life. It's a game changer. What if worship wasn't just songs, but it was going all in? You know, one of the reasons, again, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, okay? We're talking a lot about Super Bowl. And I don't know if your team's in the hunt or what, but it really gives us a great platform to just talk about this. And when you think about football, why is it that we really enjoy a lot, those that do enjoy football, why is it that they enjoy it so much? If people are really enjoying football, it's because they go all in. I mean, I heard where the average price for the Super Bowl ticket is about $3,000. We'll pay thousands of dollars. We'll dress ourselves up. We'll park 10 miles away. We'll get there 3 hours early. I mean, we're just all in. What would it look like if we did that with God? Come on. Well, I just think God should be convenient. I'll get there when I feel like it, when I want to, how I want to. Right? What would it look like if we went all in with God? I mean, we're cheering for the football team. I think if anybody needs to be cheered, it's our God. Amen? And he said, clap your hands, all you people. I didn't write that. He wrote that. Clap your hands, all you people. And then he said, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He said that. So if he said that, and that's the way he wants to be worshipped, that's his love language, and that's the way I'm going to worship him. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going all in for him. Amen. I'm going to live my life, every area of my life, I'm going all in for him. So give your life for Jesus. So we're talking about filling the void. How do we do it? We're falling in love with him. Ephesians 5 and 18. This was a verse that we shared last series. Do not get drunk on wine. And that could be anything, by the way. That could be anything. Don't get drunk on sports. Don't get drunk on shopping. Don't get drunk on pornography. Don't get drunk on gambling. Don't get drunk on entertainment. Don't get drunk on politics. Don't get drunk on lust. Don't get drunk on this world, because it's going to lead you to debauchery, which is an extreme indulgence in your senses. And what that really means is your body's now calling the shots. Your emotions are calling the shots. But I love this. Instead, don't just stop doing that. Instead, replace it with something. Fill it with something. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Right? So give your life to Jesus. Let him fill up your life. And then a second thing we need to fill our life with, and that is to get into a small group. You can't fix it by yourself. Newsflash. We need each other. That's the way God designed it. I'll give you a scripture that's not in your notes. It says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Where you have somebody that you can talk to, that you can open up to, that you can share with. Ecclesiastes says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. So he was all alone. I can do this by myself. I don't need a son. I don't need a brother. I'm okay. And look what happens. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? the one be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Let me just say that again. Verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered. Can I tell you, one will be overpowered. One will be overpowered. But two can defend themselves. And then a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So I encourage you, get into a group. We've just started here at Cross Point. Get into a small group. Get in relationship. It'll change your life. And then what else do we fill our life with? We fill our life with Jesus. We fill our life by getting into a small group. Number three, find your purpose in life. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again. The best way to solve your problem is not to try to fix your problem. The best way to solve your problem is to find something bigger than your problems. Paul had plenty of problems. He was persecuted like we don't know anything about in the Bible. And yet, he had something bigger than his problems. He didn't even focus on that. Acts 20 and 24, he says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. That was what his life was all about. He was all in love with Jesus, following Jesus. And for us, the way we do that, to help you discover your purpose, as you know, is the growth track. And here's the goal. It's not just to get you doing a bunch of stuff around here. It's actually designed not for us, but it's designed for you. Because here's what I know. When you discover your purpose and you have something to focus on other than your problems, I'm telling you, your problems are going to take care of themselves. You find something bigger than your problems. You find a purpose that you can throw yourself into, and everything changes. It'll change your life. Amen? So get onto the growth track. Today will be a great day to start. If you have not been in the growth track, have it started, today will be a great day. It's raining outside. You don't want to go out there anyway. You know, we're going to feed you, whatever. We'll take care of you and let you go through the growth track. It's going to be an awesome experience. But that's step one today. We'd love to have you with us on that, the growth track. But here's the goal, and that is to live your life for the good of others. Live your life for the good of others. The most fulfilled people in the world are people who are living their life for others. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. So, the purpose of the growth track is not just to have a bunch of classes. The purpose of the growth track is to bring you out the other side of the growth track and get you on a team making an eternal difference in somebody's life. And that's what God has called us to do. That's where the greatest area of fulfillment is. Now, everybody look at me. I know this is a challenging message. And I know that change, although we know we need it, sometimes it's very difficult to step out and make the change. But I'm encouraging you and I'm challenging you to take the step, to make a decision, to make the game-changing call. Think about Nick Saban. What kind of pressure would he have been under if he put a red shirt quarterback in, set his main quarterback down, and then lost the game? You know he'd have been answering some questions in that press room after the game. But he took a chance. He believed in the guy. A guy he had recruited from Hawaii, just a freshman, for a national championship. He believed in him, and he put him in the game. May I tell you something? God believes in you. He cares about you. And I don't know what chapters, again, have been written in your life that have made you think that it's over, but it's not over. There's still time on the clock, and your life can change. And God specializes in taking what seems to be an impossibility and turning it around for good. All he asks is that you take a step toward him and say, God, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I'm telling you, when you do, your life is going to change. And real life change happens at that place called the cross, where we say, Lord, I know that you did everything for me, You took my sin upon you. You took my past upon you. All my addictions, all my habits, all the things that I can't seem to change. God, you've already provided for me everything that I need. You've taken all that upon yourself. It's called the Great Exchange. Because we bring all of our stuff to him, our baggage, our filthy rags that we have, which represents just our bad decisions we've made. We present that to him at the foot of the cross. And God gives us his robe of righteousness. He takes all that on him and becomes sin for us, and then gives us his robe of righteousness and says, you're new. It's a do-over. It's a game changer. And with him, we're going to win. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I know in the midst of all these words, your spirit has been speaking to our hearts. You're reminding us that you love us, and we can't go far enough from you to escape your love. We can't make enough of bad decisions to keep you from loving us, God. You love us and you care for us and you come to us. And Lord, I pray today we would discover a love that's able to not just forgive, but to cleanse and make us brand new and give us a new beginning. Today, may we discover that. My heads are bowed and my eyes are closed. I want to lead you in a life-changing prayer of giving your life to God. I want to lead you in that, and if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to pray along with us. If you're in this house today and you say, Pastor, I need to make that decision today. This is a personal decision. It's a private decision. And we have places where we declare that publicly. That's called water baptism. But this decision is between you and God. And so we don't have you stand or come to the front, but right where you're seated. While no one's looking around, I just want to pray with you right where you're seated. And I'm going to lead you in this. But if that's you today and say, when you pray, would you count me in that prayer? I'd like to know who I'm agreeing with. Would you just slip up your hand boldly? Come on, make a decision today. Make a step today. Just slip up your hand and you can put it right back down. Amen. God bless you today. God bless you today. If you're watching online, join with us. For those that need to pray this, would you, from your heart, just pray something like this? Come on, everybody pray it out loud to help those that support those that need to pray this. Just pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for going my own way, for making bad choices. Today I need life. I need freedom. Thank you for paying the price for my freedom by dying on the cross for me. Today I accept your gift of life, the gift of freedom. I invite you to come in and make me brand new. Forgive me of my past. Give me a new tomorrow. Begin today, right now. Come inside. Come on, say this. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you fully as you help me. Father, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, needed to pray it. I've invited you to come in their heart. And I thank you that in this very moment, everything's brand new. The past is gone. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. So I declare freedom. I declare liberty. I declare life. I declare hope. I declare peace. I declare, God, that in all their ways, as they follow you, that they're going to prosper, that they're going to be blessed. Lord, I thank you for the win in their life, for the success, God, that you've already won for them. And God, may they experience the life that you intended them to live, oh God. Lord, may they experience life to the full. Life, the joy of living, God. I declare it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.